It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
U.S. sanctions on Iran are back today. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Today, U.S. sanctions on Iran take full effect, and U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton said there would be additional U.S. sanctions on Iran as well. This is all a follow-on from the White House unilaterally pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal earlier this year. The sanctions hit oil exports, shipping, and banks, but there is a big caveat. 8 countries will get waivers to continue to import Iranian oil. From Washington, Marketplace's Scott Tong joins me. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Sabri.
So why are these countries getting waivers?
Well, the stated reason is good behavior. This morning, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo also spoke, and he said that these 8 countries have already cut their purchases of Iranian oil. So they're doing the right thing by the White House estimation. These countries are China, Japan, India, Italy, Greece, South Korea, Taiwan, and Turkey. And what this is an acknowledgement of something oil analysts already know, and that is that Iranian oil does and will leak out. There are just too many ways for it to happen. You can sell it on the high seas when nobody's watching. You can turn off your transponders on your tanker ships. I mean, you can use your imagination if you sell something that goes for $70 a barrel in the world. Now, still, these waivers have been condemned by hardline politicians who say that the Trump administration blinked, that it caved.
Well, I mean, did it cave? Because, you know, a few months ago, the White House was saying it wanted Iranian exports down to zero.
Well, yes and no. Mike Pompeo said one reason for the waivers was to ensure a well-supplied oil market. So they definitely want to hold prices down. Right? No administration on the eve of an election wants voters to drive to the polls and see $3, $4 gasoline on the way, right? But let's be clear. These sanctions have really hurt Iran, which is the intent of the White House, to starve them back to the negotiating table. Iran is selling a lot less oil than it did, which is a key reason it's probably headed for recession.
And this is all because, as we mentioned, of a unilateral decision by the United States. What about the other countries that were part of the Iranian nuclear deal? Are they still in or what?
They say they're still in. Right? Tehran today has vowed to bypass the sanctions. And the Europeans have talked for months about creating some kind of workaround, some they call it a special vehicle to keep the business going. The problem is so many transactions in the world happen in U.S. dollars, which are in reach of U.S. sanctions. So a lot of multinational companies have decided, no, we're going to pull out because the risk is too high.
All right. Marketplace's Scott Tong, thank you so much. And let's do the numbers. As those Iran sanctions take effect, crude oil futures are up 0.8%, so we're at about $64 a barrel. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 82 points, that's 0.3%. The S&P 500 up 0.2%. NASDAQ is down 0.3%. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 3.19%. So mixed signals there in markets the day before midterms. For more on markets and midterms, we are joined by Julia Coronado. She is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
What could the midterm elections mean for markets? How are they relevant to economic policy that would be of interest to markets?
The big picture is they add to uncertainty that already clouds the outlook for 2019 from things like trade policy and, you know, geopolitical uncertainty and rising tensions. I don't think that there is an obvious change in policy, even if we get more divided government with the Democrats taking the House, for example. Things like the tax cut and the increased federal spending are likely to stay in place. And those are the things that have boosted the economy. It's unlikely the midterms will change that basic stimulus that's been put in place. But other areas of policy could have more challenges. There would be more challenges to the Trump agenda.
Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thanks.
My pleasure.
Hi, I'm Zach, and I listen to Marketplace in Arlington, Virginia. I think what I appreciate the most about Marketplace is their ability to take the economic news of the day, issues such as tariffs, rate hikes, and tax reform, cut through the political noise, and clearly and concisely explain not only how these issues affect our country and the rest of the world, but how they impact people like me. I hope you'll consider joining me as a Marketplace investor and donate today at marketplace.org to help make their work possible.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
The U.S. economy continues to grow at a solid rate, slightly faster than expected even, which makes this next piece of news a little puzzling. Some credit card companies are scaling back their lending. Capital One has tightened customer spending limits. Discover, according to the Wall Street Journal, is offering fewer balance transfers to people it considers high risk. This is telling us something about the economy. Marketplace's Jed Kim has that.
For the most part, people who hold Discover and Capital One cards tend to be less affluent, more middle America than, say, a Chase Sapphire Reserve holder. Warren Kornfeld is a senior vice president and lead analyst at Moody's Investor Service. He says concerns about Discover and Capital One users' credit risks are noteworthy because they're among the first to get hit by a downturn.
They are very much a bellwether.
So they're a potential risk to lenders. Ted Rossman is an analyst with CreditCards.com.
If you can only squeak through the door under the best case economic conditions, what happens if there's a downturn ahead? What happens if you lose your job or your hours get cut and your income goes down?
Rossman says the economy's pretty much at its peak. He thinks Discover and Capital One are making a smart move by reducing their exposure to risk.
It's really the ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure theory, combined with the fact that good times can't last forever.
Warren Kornfeld with Moody's says he wishes this kind of caution had been the order of the day a decade ago.
When you look at the trends going into the Great Recession, lenders were doing the opposite. And historically, when you have economic times as strong as they are today, that lenders loosen. And we have been voicing that concern over the last year or so.
Cutting back on how much credit they offer doesn't mean the companies are going into hibernation. Discover increased its ad buys by 50% for the first half of the year, according to data from Kantar Media. You've probably seen their commercials.
Discover has no annual fees.
Really?
Yeah. We just don't believe in them.
Oh, nice.
What, are they the same person? Twins? I don't know. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.